God,
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone here in your first 30 days of sobriety? We'd just like to welcome you by first name. Anybody? If you're on Zoom, you can feel free to raise your hand and someone will chat with you. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple action. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple action. The AA preamble states, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women, of people. Sorry, oopsie, did it from my head, I'm not even looking at the paper. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contribution. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are speaking on step three. Please welcome our panel. We have Robert and Dave. All right, I'm not going to read you to death, but I will read the first paragraph on page 60. We'll start off there, and the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So step three says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So on page 60, our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. Robert, would you kick us off?
Sure, not a problem. My name is Robert and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Robert.
And first of all, I really like that first part that we read when we read that, turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. I gotta say, I love AA. It has changed my life in ways that I never thought it was going to do. And the best part about AA is I hopefully will forever be a student, because the way I read that for a very long time was I will turn my life and will over to God. And over the last 6 years, it's been a difficult 6 years. My life has been good. I haven't had to urge, drink, or use. But I like to live the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that, step three, it says the ABCs, right? My life's unmanageable. Well, I got news for you. My life becomes unmanageable in Alcoholics Anonymous. It just doesn't, I stop, put a plug in a jug, and it stops. Came to believe the power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Hooray for me. And then C, living here. The problem, no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. I had a higher power, and that was a lady, and that didn't work out. So I started to do the AA program and found a power myself, which helped a lot more than the lady did. See that God could and would if he were sought, which is cool. And what I like about that is really simple, clear cut instructions coming from not a rogue scholar. You'd be like, man, that guy's really smart. I'm really not. What it is A, I can't do it. B, something can. That would be a higher power. And C, I should probably just let him. And that's pretty much about it. There's a lot of hysterical stories that I could do, but Dave is much more wiser to me, and I'm dying to hear what he has to say about that part.
Thank you, Robert. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
Grateful to be here. Hey, everybody out in Zoom land and all of you, my favorite people here. Two of my favorites, 3, 4, 5, 8, 10, all y'all. I love AA too. It's I resisted for a long time. You know, they say, my sponsor tells me, if you resist, it will persist. You know, and I had lots of invitations to join you guys, but until the time came where I didn't really have any other option, I ended up here. But, you know, that was it, because, you know, until I was ready and need, you know, felt that I needed help, I really wasn't much that I would have gotten out of this. So, you know, this reading my sponsor at the end of step two, he had me do some things for step two. And then we pulled out the book and we read this. And he said, you know, he asked me if I was convinced. And I said, yes, because I wanted to move on, you know. And I was convinced, I think, of A and B, that I was alcoholic and couldn't manage my own life. That was pretty obvious. And that no human power could have relieved the alcoholism. I knew I couldn't, because, you know, I'd been stuck in it so long. But the God could and would if he were sought. It wasn't that the good could and would was the problem. It was, how do you seek him? Yeah, I just had no idea. I'd gone to church as a kid. You know, I just wanted to get out of there. I wanted to be on the playground. I liked being outside with my friends. And I didn't really understand what they were talking about. I didn't understand that you could have a personal relationship with a higher power. You guys taught me that in a way that I could understand. I'm not knocking church, because, I mean, my brothers and sisters are great people, and they go to church. They've done a lot for a lot of different people. They do what we do, really. But that, I didn't see that then. I just wanted to get out of there. And so, you know, I was also breaking some of the rules, you know. I figured, yeah, I wasn't going anywhere good at the end of this. So, you know, but so not knowing how to do that seeking part, you know, I learned the serenity prayer, and that was really my only tool, but I started to say it, you know, and just, and I had a couple of experiences in the first few months. I came to AA through a treatment center and, or whatever you want to call it, asylum, hospital, whatever. But I spent 3 months there. I was very sick. But so about after a month and a half, 2 months, they give you a weekend pass to go home, because they want you to go. Well, I didn't have anywhere to go, but they wanted you to go back into your environment, you know. And so I went, came, I didn't have a place to live. I'd spent my first night sober in the woods. But a friend of mine that I used to run with had about 7 years. And so I took the bus, because I didn't have a car or license either. And, you know, it was only an hour from Williamsburg to Virginia Beach, but I was scared, because I knew I could get off the bus at any time. And you know, I didn't trust myself. And I actually said that serenity prayer over and over the whole time on the bus. And about cresting the hill at First Colonial on 264, it might have been 44 then. I think it was 4. Anyway, the sun was rising, and I felt this warmth come over me and this peace. I'd never had that happen before. I'd prayed. I would have told you I was an atheist, but I used to pray in jail and places like that. You know, when you know what hit the fan, I prayed. So deep down inside of me was this fundamental idea of a God. So anyway, that happened. That worked, you know. Wow, I was surprised. And then the same thing happened towards the end of my time there. They suggested I move into an Oxford house. And for like 2 weeks, I called. There were 3 of them in Virginia Beach. No beds, no beds, no beds. And, you know, and I was praying for God, if you want me to do this, you know, may help me to do it. And last night a bed opened. So, you know, there was a lot of hope, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, came out of that, because, you know, there were results. It wasn't anything I was doing either. So that helped me a lot with that. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. All right. Off to a great start. We're going to continue on page 60. Being convinced, we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that? And just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Robert?
Sure. Step three, the cool part about AA is we gravitate towards a sponsor or a guide, somebody that's gone a little bit ahead of us, and we start a relationship with that person. And my first sponsor said, hey, I'm going to take you through the book the way I was taken through the book, because that's how I got sober. He shared his experience, strength, and hope with us and the way that he got sober. So my first sponsor, step three is kind of like a big deal. And step three for me was broken down into 9 parts. There's 9 parts in step three. And I love not only AA, but the trickiness of the way they write, because it's very solid information here for this alcoholic. And I like the way they write this. Being convinced we were at step three, right? I'm convinced that I'm at step three at this point. There is loads of pregame going on in step three. The only time that I've heard something twice in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous with my sponsor was the spiritual experience, right? It's number 2. You go back.
Appendix 2.
Everybody calls it something. Appendix 2. You read it, and then like 4 or 5 pages later, there's an asterisk at the bottom of the page, and he's like, oh, we got to turn back. I'm like, no, we just read that like a few pages ago. I think it was maybe like 12 pages ago. And he's like, well, it's on the book, so we're going to read that again. So there's something going on with that spiritual experience that they really want to hammer down in this knucklehead, right? And I love that part of the book. Now, what does this have to do with the reading? Maybe nothing for you, but for me, a lot. And what it does is tell me it's an educational variety. Coming, if I'm going to give this power up, right, and I'm kind of a big deal to myself, to something that I've never done business with before, we got to go ahead and have some terms to work this relationship out. And I love the being convinced. I'm convinced right now. Is this true? We shall see in a little bit more. But being convinced we were step three, we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do you mean to that? And what that means to me is I've already allegedly came to a higher power that I could do business with in step two. And this is a new relationship, people. So there's going to be a lot of tests and trials and tribulations on that. And what that looks like to me is what Dave already described. This whole prayer thing is all new to me. This whole trusting this thing that I don't see is very new to me. And I'm going to do the best I can with a lot of help. And what do we do? Just like Dave said, I'm going to start praying. I was told to pray for people I don't even like, and it can be my prayer. So that wasn't very spiritual, but it was a prayer nonetheless. And the first requirement, there's requirements now. The first requirement is being convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. Everybody can figure that and be your own judge. I wrote some stuff down on paper. I'm like, this is a dumpster fire. This is not good at all. I don't want what I have. So that part was pretty easy for me. It was pretty evident in my life at that time. I had the gift of desperation, and I reeked of it. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. Yep, that's my story. I have a voice. I'm not scared to use it. Somebody in this room calls me a bully at times. I think she's wrong, but what does she know? I like to say I'm a passionate man. I'm a passionate man, and I want you to be passionate about this also, and let me tell you how it's done. And then, of course, the actor and stuff like that. The cool part about AA, and I'll be quiet after this, is more will be revealed. Things have gotten taken on a different meaning when I came in a while ago than they do now. Things that I've been practicing when I first came in, I practice different now. And that is to say, once again, the care of God, that will come up later. But in this one right here, I was reading this and I'm like, wait a second. I want to arrange lights and all that jazz, and then it's going to be great. And I wasn't doing it for selfish reasons. I honestly, there was times that there was no selfish reasons in it. I don't want you to get hurt. By nature, I'm a protector. By nature, I'm a provider. I want to make you safe because of a lot of personal stuff in my life. And I'm going to do these things for you so you don't get hurt. How can that be selfish? Well, it's a perverse form of playing God. That's what that is. Everybody has their own journey. Everybody has to take their own bumps. And with me interjecting my will, that person happened to be right on this occasion, and I can be a bully at times. And what really is dangerous for an alcoholic is that bully turns into a perverse, very subtle God complex. I know. Really? Really, you know. That's really great. Give me six numbers and a lotto ticket and we can get out of here. I don't know as much as I think I know. I lie to myself all the time. Not on big things, but on really small things. So once again, that's going back that God probably could. So yeah, I'll shut up with that and take it away.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, so Dave.
Robert mentioned this in the first reading, but this wording confused me. You know, turn my will and my life over to God as we understood him, it says here. And, you know, I talked to my sponsor about it. And I got one of those because I didn't know what I was doing. And I said, you know, God supposedly gave me this free will. You know, am I supposed to say, here, take it back? You shouldn't have done that. You know, that was wrong. I don't think he'd particularly like that either. He told he was wrong. But and how do you do that? You know, and he pointed to the part of the book where it says, no, and it actually says, turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him in this step. And it's kind of like turning myself over to the care of a doctor. You know, the doctor can help me if I'm one, honest with him, and two, I follow his direction. So my job is to be honest with God as best I can and to try to align my will with what he would have me do. And that made some sense to me. You know, it's not always easy. And I don't always know what God wants me to do, but I believe that God dwells inside of me and everybody else. Like it does say that in the book too. And I can listen to my heart and my stomach. My heart tells me if it's the right thing. My stomach tells me if it's the wrong thing. Yeah. My sponsor also told me I could flip a coin, you know, say heads do this, tails do that, flip the coin. And how I reacted to the result told me what I really should be doing. So some pretty neat little things that I've learned along the way. This whole thing about selfishness and self-centeredness, you know, I didn't think that was me. I was the way I directed people was to keep them away. You know, when I was younger and before alcoholism took over, I was more gregarious and lots of friends and had fun. And well, I think I was kind and generous somewhat, but I know now I was self-centered because I was always thinking about me. How are they going to think of me? Or what am I supposed to do in this situation? How am I supposed to act? And then of course, the longer I drank, the more I turned in from the kind, considerate, patient, generous person to the mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has allowed me to shed some of that and move back towards the person that God intended me to be by working through these steps. So, you know, when I got here, you could say I was shy or whatever, you know, because I had my face down looking at the floor all the time. But, you know, I'd gone from being that guy who was fairly social to basically being a loner and totally alone. And I couldn't even put words on it that I was so miserable and lonely, because I would just drink to shut that down inside myself. And so anyway, becoming part of the fellowship was part of this process for me that they're talking about, you know, surrendering to being a group within a group of people, you know, because I can't do it by myself. I need you guys. And the people that were there at what is still my home group, when I started going there, met every day at 7:30 a.m., New Day group. They were so kind to me and they told me to keep coming back, you know, nobody told me that in a long time. And, you know, and they were welcoming and they spoke a language that it took me a little bit to get, but once I got it, I understood. I felt at home. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you both. We'll continue on page 62. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves. And the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. Robert.
Well, that took me and my sponsor about 2 weeks to get through. But okay, so this is really cool because when I looked at it, what we were supposed to talk about, and I read that part, I was able to speak at a camp out a few years back, Wakefield camp out, which is really a big blast. And somebody made a mistake asking me to speak, and my friend Delia, and they told us to speak on this right here. And I like to be creative. I just think it's fun. Arts and crafts are awesome, right? And right here, they're telling me what the problem is. This is a problem. I have a problem. We have a solution. That I and we makes a huge difference in my life. Because right here, this is one of the very few parts where it's really shining spotlight pretty good on what's going on here. Selfishness, self-centeredness. We got self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. Okay, I get it. I get it. I'm pretty self-centered. And what it is, what's really cool is it's driven by hundreds of forms of what? Fear and self-delusion. I forgot that one, right? Earlier on in the book, it will tell me that I have trouble differentiating the true from the false. Newsflash, it doesn't change in AA. Maybe for you, but for me, that's why I don't do this program alone. Luckily, this part of the book, we're talking about the care of God. So I'm never really alone if I'm doing this prayer or meditation, which comes on as a suggestion and a step later on. So dealing with just this right here, I'm going to wind up having woes and troubles. I'm going to sell myself that this is a great course of action, and it is not going to be any of those things. And without help or a reminder, I'm going to do exactly that. I will somehow, this evil, slimy little corroded thread of fear will be like, oh, I'm going to miss out, or this is going to be bad if I don't take the wheel. You know, dropkick Jesus out, I get behind the wheel, let's see where this guy goes, right? Doesn't usually work too well for me, or whoever your higher power is, doesn't really matter. But what I do is I get the daily reminder from other people. Once again, the spirit, experience, strength, and hope of others bring me back to this. And this is specifically asking me, I don't have the answers. Who has the answers? For this alcoholic, it happens to be G-O-D, God, higher power. Whatever words you use, they use God, works for me. So they're telling me I cannot get through my own prison without his help. And that's basically what it's telling me there. And the troubles of our own makings, come on. That happened so long ago, it wasn't even that big of a deal. I will go ahead and cause trouble and then tell you that you should be okay with that trouble and that it wasn't really that bad. Don't be a drama person. And then you hurt me and I'm a nice guy. And now I'm all sore about that, which is always really funny that some of us have a sensitivity issue. We're sensitive, but you should not be. I love the double standard that some of us have. So that's really fun. Yeah, I'll shut up with that.
Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Dave, alcoholic. Hey, Dave. Those, the fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. That's a lot of self. I didn't even realize, I had no inventory skills. I had no desire to know what made me go or why I was doing all these things I was doing. Because I didn't want to dig up the dirt, and so again, I would just drink and cover it all up. And but I realized after being sober a little bit that fear, I was a big puddle of goo of fear, and it drove everything I did. All my defects are fear-based. I do have a few assets I believe are God-given. And so my journey here is to replace those defects with the assets that God gave me. Get rid of as much of Dave as I can, and you know, try to do what he would have me do. You know, this thing that Robert ended with, that we found at some time in the past, we had made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. You know, I thought everybody was picking on me. I was Charlie Brown. And I was convinced of that. Yeah. But of course, and it really didn't come from me until the fourth and fifth step when I figured out, dang, I did have part in this. You know, I did set the ball rolling. And it was actually very empowering, you know, to learn that, because then if I didn't do the stuff I'd been doing, I wouldn't get the results I was getting, you know. And so I was, that's one of the biggest things that I've gotten in working the steps, is this ability to realize that I got a part in it, you know. And I set the ball rolling because I wanted something out of it. That's the self-seeking. I also love this part. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. I had a lot of moral and philosophical convictions, and I thought you should live up to them, right? Yeah. I held everybody else accountable, but not myself. Somehow I gave myself a pass, you know? And I remember we had this thing where it was called a confront. My brother came, and one thing he told me was how much, you know, his kids missed me, which really hurt, you know, because emotionally I'm their age. So we had been very tight until the drinking took me away. And it's still really that way. Now it's the grandnephews and the grandnieces that I'm really tight with. But anyway. But he, you know, I said, you know, you're not doing enough for Dad. And he said, you don't know what I'm doing for Dad, you know, how much I do for Dad. And he didn't say it, but he implied, what are you doing for Dad? I got the message, you know, I wasn't doing anything, but I expected him and my other brother to be doing something, you know. And that was a great wake-up call for me. You know, the spiritual experiences aren't always sunshine and rainbows, you know, but they're epiphanies, I guess, is what you call them, right? And or spiritual experiences. And, you know, and so I never mentioned that again. And I started doing some things for my dad, you know. And I mean, my brothers and I, and my sister and I are closer than we've ever been as a result of all of this. You know, all we talked about was sports and weather in my family. We didn't have the funnest home life. And they left as soon as they could. I was the baby of the family in more ways than one, you know. And but through this process, we've all gotten much closer. You know, we say I love you now. And occasionally they call me for advice, which is really strange. But anyway, I love AA too. Still. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you both. All right, we're gonna continue on page 62. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. All right.
Okay, I can understand why this is broken down into 9 parts for somebody as simple as me. Okay, so and my journey, this would be the third part of the third step. God is going to be the director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of a new and triumphant arch through which we pass to freedom. I actually really liked, even in the beginning, I really enjoyed that last sentence. That sounds like a new and triumphant arch. This sounds like we're conquering things here, people. And I like strength and the freedom. And I want to bathe in it, drink in it, and pass it around. I love freedom. So that part really spoke really well. It took me a while, even though I did step two and I came to believe I got a higher power in step two. And that's all good. And when it came to this part, God was going to be the director, our agents, principal, father and children. So I didn't have a problem ever believing God in God. My whole entire life, I believed in God. I had an issue with God. And that stung a little bit when it said father and child, because some of us are blessed with healthy relationships, some are not. And I didn't luck out on that one. I had an unhealthy one. So once again, this is going to be a running theme in my ramblings of the care of God. That is super, super important to me. Everything else has a lot of leeway in that third step for me. My will, what's my will going to be? Am I going to get it right? Am I going to get it wrong? Newsflash, I can't speak for you. I'm not perfect. I'm going to get this wrong sometimes. That I'm not always going to do God's will, and that's okay in AA. What's his will? And I'm going to turn my life over to God. What does that mean? For whatever reason, I have a Peter Pan mentality. I think I'm going to be okay. That part, turning my life over to the care of God, I think I'm going to be fine. It is ridiculous how much I feel that almost all the time. I get myself still in ridiculous situations. And my sister, who I'm very close to, always called me God's special little project. In my family, they said God loves drunks and kids. Well, I qualify as both perpetually, but I'm a sober drunk now. And what does that look like? I had a problem with this because I needed to, that care thing. Is there a kind, caring parent out there? Is there? I didn't have that experience. And I've come to believe in that. And now it's one of my favorite parts. And what that sort of kind of looks like too, is I realized that I get things twisted. I'm complicated. And when you say, sometimes I'm super literal, like I'm very literal at times. So when you say, turn your will and your life over to the care of God, this is the only one of the very few times that I'm not literal, because I get really expansive on this. My life includes Dave. I've known Dave for going on, I think, 15 years, one of my favorite people on this planet. And I worry. Look at my head. It looks like a sharp pen. I worry all the time. That's not really turning my life and my will over to the care of God. If I'm worried constantly, what am I worried about? God's got it. He is or he isn't. That's my choice in step two. Is or isn't. No wiggle room there. And that's the whole point of this program. It's strengthening that relationship. And with that, it's really hard for me to go ahead and stay focused on one thing, because it's all interconnected for me. So what I do is I reread that prayer, And like I said, the last 6 years has been something special for me. It's been a journey, a deeper journey. And this is the part of the book that I should take literally. I should take this part literally. I am praying for care of my life. I'm turning my life and my will over to the care of God. You might have a power. You have a higher power. It's like Oprah. Everybody gets a higher power in here. And God doesn't need me interfering with that relationship. I have a direct contact with my higher power. I personally believe you all do too. God doesn't need me to help with that relationship. And what I want to do, being the bully or the protector that I am, I want to run interference on that all the time for the greater good, I say. And that really made a huge difference. So I am now turning my will and my life over to the care of this Father that I have. And it is good and it is healthy. Do I still worry about you? Absolutely, I do. And that's why I keep coming back. And that's why there's more to be revealed. But that just came as an epiphany. I can't dig your hole. I can't remove your obstacle. That is not my to do. That's between you and God. And I like to judge. It's going to be bad if you do it. Let me help you. And you know what? I did a lot of bad things. And here I am, clean and sober in AA, with a host of friends, with true love in my heart. And I didn't get that by a smooth ride. Go ahead, run with scissors, run with scissors, throw rocks, do whatever you got to do. If you need help, ask. Hopefully if I'm available, I'll be there if you ask. It is not my job to do that. And that's what this prayer means to me now. And it took a long time to get there. It means different things. We're running out of time and Dave's got way better stuff to say. So take it away.
No, that's great. Thanks, Robert. Dave Alcott. I was listening to Dave read this and reading it along with him and thinking, if I was new, all this talk of God and all this imagery, I had a hard time with it. It's not like I came to where I am today overnight. I've been here a long time. Well, fair, long for me anyway. and it evolves over time. When I got here, you know, I had to do step two and three. Basically, I came to believe that AA could restore me to sanity. And I turned my will of my life over to AA. And what is my will of my life? You know, and I heard somebody say it's my thoughts and my actions. And that helped me because, again, I think I'm smart, but I'm not really that smart. I really didn't understand a lot of this stuff. But, you know, and like I said, the imagery is I'm waiting for trumpets to start blaring as we go through the new and triumphant arch, you know, and riding on horses with, you know, like, you know all that. So, yeah, but I did know, you know, it didn't take me too long anyway to figure out that I can't manage my own life because of where I was. You know, I said, I hadn't done a very good job of being in charge of my life. You know, look where I'm at. So maybe I ought to at least listen to the people that have been around a while and do what they suggest I do. And through that process, through taking the simple actions that they suggested, you know, I came to believe that I'm going to be all right. If I don't drink, I'm going to be all right. And even if I drink, God forbid, if I can get back here, I'm going to be all right. You know, but knock on wood, that won't happen because I'm going to keep doing this because it gets, you know, there's that progression of I'm here begrudgingly, you know, I'm starting to kind of like you guys. The coffee's not very good, but it's free, you know, and then sometimes there's donuts. Yeah. And then I start to say, yeah, I kind of like those guys, you know, eventually. And then I got to where I love being here. I love you guys. I love the life that this leads to, you know, and it's not like I'm not a religious person. Some people are. I'm a spiritual person, you know, and to me, that just means that this lifts my spirit, you know, and that's why I love coming here, because together we're so much more than we are apart. You know, and that lone misery that I was experiencing, I'll never want to go back there. Yeah, I don't. So, and I can, you know, like I said, I can't manage my own life. I sure can't manage anybody else. And like Robert was talking about, and you know, so, but I can help other people by telling them what I did, you know, and by answering the phone when they call, and by paying attention when they speak, which, you know, for a self-centered guy like me, sometimes can be a problem. But I can remember the people, especially when I was new, that just sat there and looked me in the eye and listened and didn't interrupt me or tell me what to do. They might tell me what they did and whether it worked or not. I can learn from both, you know. But it's really, it's a we thing. God's included in that. But so are we, you know, he's part of the we too. And that's enough for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Bo. All right. Continuing on page 63, we were now at step three. Many of us said to our maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I might may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
Robert.
Okay, so here's some cool trickiness. In the beginning on page 60, being convinced we were at step three. So I'm convinced on page 60 that I'm at step three. Just to reiterate, we were now at step three on 63. We are now. We did some pre-gaming. You know, we thought we were. And we did some pre-gaming. And now we're at step three. So there was three steps, at least the way I was shown by my guide. There was three steps before I even get to step three. Now we're at step three. And now I'm not good with math, but if you do nine, take three away. Three-way, there's six steps, six little parts in this. And he broke this down real simple for me. And I love the way they wrote the book. I think personally, this book was spiritually infused with something other than just two drunks who I have a lot of respect for. So on this one, I'm not going to do a lot of ad-lib in here. I'm just going to do this for me because it's out shown. It says, read the pair of the book. So me and my sponsor would go over each one of these things. We'd be about an hour together reading the book, disseminating words and stuff like that, and looking up words because I can't speak so well or read so good. So we read the prayer in the book together. And then make sure you were ready. It's telling me that, right? Did we get to that part yet? Yeah. Utterly to him? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So there was some pauses in between this for me because I was encouraged to ask a lot of questions and I never shut up anyhow. So I asked a lot of questions and that was encouraged because if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to live this program, it has to drop from my brain, theoretical, to my heart. And for me to have that happen, I need to understand reasonably what am I getting into. So it said, read the prayer in the book. We did that all casual like, and then said, make sure you're ready. And I'm like, oh, okay. I need to be ready for this. Find someone or God. I did it with my sponsor. This part I did with my sponsor, but I could find anybody or I could do it with God. Then I have to ask, right? And then do the book and the prayer or make your own, right? They give a lot of latitude in this book. They give a lot of latitude. It's always inclusive, never exclusive. So of course, being who I am, I'm not going to read that book of prayer. We just read that book. So I'll make my own. I like that empowerment. I think AA empowers me. And the reason why it empowers me, not for me to have a good life and not to be totally awesome, it empowers me to love and service. How do I get this power? It comes from God. It's telling me right here. I'm going to have a bunch of trouble. I'm going to make a big muck of everything. And I'm going to do something that I never did before. I'm literally giving my will and life over to the care of this new agent, this new father, this healthy relationship. And then I'm going to voice without reservation and do it. I got to tell you, when I did this step, this was a money shot. This was some good stuff. I felt something when I did this prayer. I took my time to did it. I asked all the questions. And when I did that without reservation, I got to tell you, I don't do a whole lot of things 100%. At best, you're getting like 89, 91% out of me. I did this without reservation, and it was a game changer for me. And I'll shut up. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Robert. I'm going to tell my third step story, which most of y'all have heard a lot of times. But anyway, I'm going to do it anyway. So that's all I got. But so I was about 6 months sober. I'd been on the third step for 3.5 months, probably. And I'd gotten a new sponsor when I moved back to Virginia Beach. And I told him I'd done the first three steps. So for 3.5 months, he kept saying, when are you going to do the fourth step? When are you going to do the fourth step? Well, in reality, I hadn't done the third step, you know, and thought I had neatly evaded the issue. And so I started thinking about drinking and all the dirty, nasty, rotten things I had done that needed to be let out and put on a fourth step. Or swimming around in my head again. And the way I'd always stopped that was to drink. You know, my last 10 years of drinking was pretty much to shut my mind down. And so one day, yeah, I went to the morning meeting. I called my sponsor. I was driving to an evening meeting and I could literally taste it. And I went to the meeting and I left and I still was not in good spiritual condition. And I got to a red light at a T intersection and my favorite bar was a mile one way. And the Oxford house I was living in was a mile the other way. And I said, God, please get me home tonight. And I ended up going home. And, you know, you tell that to a lot of people and they say, big deal. You just decided to go home, but that ain't what happened. I know that, you know, I would have taken the right. But something, you know, it says in our literature that at some point, the only thing between you and the drink is your relationship with a higher power. And mine wasn't real big. It was about that much probably, but I believed enough I abandoned myself utterly to him, utterly. What a word, you know, and believe me, I don't do that all the time. You know, but in that instance I did. And the next morning when I woke up, I just knew what to do. And I went to the library and started writing. And that was the last serious compulsion I had to drink. And it took a couple of days and I wrote it all down and, you know, did it with my sponsor at the church in the kitchen, just like back there at the church of the meeting I used to go to with him. And it wasn't a white light experience or anything, but it was a great relief. I felt like I knew I belonged, but it made me feel like I belonged, like I'd really done something, you know, and plus, you know, that I was human. I wasn't a bad person. I'd done bad things, but I was a sick person. And, you know, I don't abandon myself utterly all the time or even very often, but I do have a level of trust in my higher power, you know, that again, if I do, you know, the best I can, which isn't always, you know, perfect, then I'm going to be okay. And, you know, I can remember it like it was yesterday, sitting at that stoplight and then, you know, waking up the next morning and just grabbing a pen and a pad, going to the library. I had to do that too. I had to make an appointment with myself to do it. Yeah. I couldn't sit around anybody else or whatever. I had to go somewhere with the sole intent of doing that. But that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
We got a couple more minutes left and one final paragraph. Next, this is also on 63. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house clean.
Well, let's do this vigorously then. We launched out on a course of a vigorous action. The step was a personal house cleaning. By this point, I'm ready to move on with it. Although some of the harder stuff is gone, the vigorous action, we're talking about going into the fourth step. I was actually looking forward to it. The way it was laid out to me and my sponsor or my guide, I was looking forward to the fourth step. I was not, this is going to be good. I was still riding. I think the way they laid this out is perfect. I start doing business with something greater than myself that is making life okay and bearable. I come to this step, which is step three. And if I go ahead and do this the way I did it, I got a certain result. And that result was tangible in my life. I was ready to rock and roll. Let's do this, people. I don't have a time machine. What am I feeling guilty for? What am I feeling bad for? I'm just making a list of things that I've done. This is just going to be an inventory. And what it was explained to me, this vigorous action that I'm going to take, this inventory I'm going to take, is just basically taking more junk out and leaving more room for my higher power to come in. I like power. I am an alcoholic. If it is makes me feel good, I want more of that. God makes me feel good today. I want more of that. But he only can fill up the glass if the glass is, you know, empty. If I keep on holding on to stuff, that it's only going to fill it up a little bit. I want five fingers, cuz I don't want a little shot. Give me a handle. That's what we're talking about. We're doing business. And I want my God to be open 24/7. And I want that power to keep on flowing in because I need that. With myself, I'm nothing. I can't stay sober today. I've got no problem with saying that. I stay sober today. I can't stay sober. I'm a part of AA, which turns the I into the we. Like Dave said, we have a dear friend. He said, it's all about relationships. Me to God, God to people, people to me. And he's been around for a very long time. And it's all about that relationship. And that fourth step, if I don't do that fourth step, then that's going to make those relationships Mickey Mouse. It's not going to be as solid. I want solid. I want good stuff, man. Top shelf. Let's do this. And I can keep on getting as much as I like, which really appeals to the alcoholic in me. So I'll shut up with this because we're running out of time and I want to hear what Dave has to say.
Thanks, Robert. I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic. And one of the step three principles, as I was taught, was willingness. And when I'm going third and fourth step with guys and the third step, I say, how do we acquire willingness? And the first way is through pain. You know, I think we all... Well, most of us, probably all of us, got here that way. You know, I'm not willing to do anything until it hurts enough. And I knew what was waiting for me if I picked up that drink. But how do we acquire it? Pain. Then we learn in here, we can pray for it. The serenity prayer, grant me the courage to do the things I can. And that, I mean, still one of my biggest prayers is give me the strength to do this if you want me to do it, you know. And third, it comes from seeing it work in other people and maybe eventually in me, you know, and then I want more of that because, you know, I like more, you know, that's why I'm here. Right. But luckily I like more of this now. And then I usually say, you know, am I scared of doing the fourth step or, you know, are you scared, whatever. And can God help with this? And what are the actions to take to do that? You know, which is the prayer and the leveling of pride and getting a pen and a piece of paper and putting the ink down, which thank God I eventually did. You know, the it's so simple yet so hard what we do here, you know, and I resisted for so long and thought that I was, nonconformist, you know, and all that, that all these principles that we're talking about now, the real truth is I didn't know how to do those kind of things. I didn't know how to adult is a word that a lot of people use now. And I sure as heck wasn't going to ask anybody how to do it. Then they know that I didn't know. Yeah, and I can't have that. That'd be a real blow to my ego and my pride. So I just wallowed in self-pity. And thank God I ended up here. That's it.
Thank you. All right, we're going to pass some tradition basket. We got these little PayPal Venmo gizmos for anybody who's interested in that. Let's see. The seven tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare. A word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements tonight for the good of AA? Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Thank you. Thanks, Justin. Anybody else?
Hey.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to somebody.
I'm Dave. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
My home group, the New Day Group over in Virginia Beach, is going to be open all day Christmas Day and New Year's Day from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. We have lots of food. We'll have our regularly scheduled 5 meetings that day, actually. Anyway, and then we're going to sprinkle some more in between. So it's at 4672 Princess Anne Road. It's over near Kempsville Greens Golf Course. It's actually next door to Footer's Bar, if you've never been there. So you got a choice every time you go in the door. But again, it's the New Day Group. It's on, you know, the meeting list and everything. But, you know, if you need a place to go or want a place to go or want to get away or need a little serenity, all of the above, come on by. Thanks.
It's all day Christmas Day?
All day, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Christmas Day and New Year's.
Yes, Robert.
My name is Robert. I am an alcoholic. Hey, and if you're not doing anything for New Year's Eve, actually New Year's Eve, literally. We have
the day before New Year's.
Right. Yeah, something like that. Our good friend Trent is speaking at Kitty Hawk Methodist Church. They're having a big shindig for a very long time. Starts at 5:30 with appetizers and dessert. 7 breakout AA meetings, Al-Anon meetings, 7:15. If you never heard Trent speak, you might want to check it out. 8 to 9, Sober Jeopardy. Hello, fun. And then a whole bunch of other stuff. And that is Saturday, December 31st. So that's really New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Okay. And the Outer Banks. Thanks.
Self-will for 1,000.
There you go.
Double down.
Me. Who is me?
Yes, sir. Hey, Kevin. Anybody else? Righty then. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. There's literature available. Please see myself or any home group member after the meeting. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we'll be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us, or if you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting. That will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial. Can we thank our lovely panel one more time? Thank you. All righty. Let's see. Everybody will get a chance after we say the Lord's Prayer to come up and thank Robert and Dave.
Enough thanking.
Yeah, come up. Slobber over them. Rick, I believe, has the last three paragraphs on page 164.
You are right.
Hey, Rick.
thank you all for a great meeting. Where should we, let's circle up front. To try to make it around the table for the Zoom people.
Lord, in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come. Give us this day our